Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This is the Game Football Podcast from The Times. We're down to the final eight at Euro 2020 with a number of surprise packages in amongst the pack. We'll take a look ahead to what could be another epic weekend of football in the quarterfinals, and we'll be joined by the special one, Jose Mourinho, on the game Euro 2020. I'm Hugh Woozencroft. Joining me to look ahead, Gregor Robertson and Tom Roddy. How are you?
Very well.
Confused, Hugh. What do you? I really never know what to do on these days when there's no football during the tournaments. What the hell do you do?
I feel unemployed, basically. I just sit around all day and just contemplate my life. Yeah, exactly.
No offense to anyone.
It's been a crazy tournament, and I was talking to Jose Mourinho a little bit earlier on. He'll be telling us a little bit later on how you prepare your side mentally for ties of this type, where the pressure is really, really on. It has been a crazy tournament so far. I'm going to ask you both, I think, for one shock out of the four games we've got remaining, but I'll ask you right at the end of the podcast. Not yet, so don't get too afraid. Gregor, you've got time to think about
it. Instantly.
But I wanted to ask you both whether you think this round could be better than the round of 16, which was absolutely fantastic. Tom, what do you think?
I'd love to think so, but no, I don't. I mean, if they can top that day with a Croatia game and the France game, it'll be absolutely the tournament to remember. But I can't really see it. And especially, I mean, you get to this stage, maybe there's the fatigue of the tournament takes its toll after such a long, grueling season. But I can't see it being as good, but I'll have my fingers firmly crossed.
Gregor, what do you think? Is it going to get better from here?
I mean, Belgium, Italy is the game you hold out hope for. When you get into the knockout rounds, it has been brilliant that games have often been slow burners. So when a team goes behind and they go, we've got no choice now, we need to go for it, like Portugal in the last 15 minutes. They played so dull for most of the tournament. And then they had to go for it. And it became a, end-to-end ding-dong game. So I think we will see more of that. But there are still teams left in the competition, like the Czech Republic, like Ukraine, who are pretty cagey. Disruptors, really, more than kind of free-flowing teams. So I think probably the best hope is kind of games that are close and the teams are, not a 3-0 lead at half-time. You want to see the second half and we'll see some... That's peak football for me. Elite big tournaments, knockout competitions, brilliant.
It's when you sit back and you say, this is quality football, not just excitement. We love a bit of excitement as well. But towards the latter stages of a tournament, you want to see sides of real quality. You want to see the tactical battle. I hate mistakes, I think, as you all know as well. So any mistake-laden game, I find disgusting. Doesn't matter how entertaining it might be, a crazy 4-3 or whatever. So I want to see quality. I want to see teams, most importantly, play to their maximum. Don't want to leave games and think they just weren't up to it today or they didn't really show up. That is the worst case scenario for me personally, and I'm hoping that the rest of the tournament can deliver. But as I say, you'll get Jose Mourinho's views on it a little bit later on. Shall we begin by discussing the games on Friday? A couple of very intriguing, in my opinion, very even contests. Belgium take on Italy at the Allianz Arena in Munich. Both sides sporting fantastic records thus far. Roberto Martinez is Belgium have beaten Russia, Denmark, Finland and Portugal with an aggregate score of 8-1, while Roberto Mancini has seen his Italy side come past Turkey, Switzerland, Wales and Austria, albeit in extra time, 9-1 on aggregate. So Tom, who do you think are the favourites?
Favourites are probably Belgium. they're probably the slight favourites going into it. I think the interesting thing will be the injuries with this game, because you've got Hazard and De Bruyne, whether they come back. I mean, how much they strengthen that Belgian side is massive. And then on the other side, you've got Chiellini. And my God, the years that he's been an absolute rock in defence with imperious performances, and just continues to do so. What he adds to that Italian back line is massive. The problem is that I think there is, when we think and talk about what's going on with England and this kind of the pressure that is building on England with as the further they get in this tournament, I don't think it compares probably to what's going on with Belgium, because, you know, we look ahead and think of the players who can come in the next generation with England who are coming through now. And with Belgium, they haven't got it quite to the same degree. I mean, I remember speaking to Romelu Lukaku in October, and he was saying that his biggest fear in football, this was midway through the Italian Serie A season, and he was thinking about Belgium, and his biggest fear in football was the golden generation retiring, all those guys moving on and them not achieving what their potential is to achieve. I think they need to start going up a gear now. This is the time to start going up a gear. And if that doesn't happen, my hunch is actually probably towards Italy.
Favourites, Gregor?
I know it's stating the obvious, but it does depend on whether De Bruyne and Hazard are fit, because I read that De Bruyne has created 37% of all of Belgium's chances, and he didn't play the first game, and he's only played a part in two of the other games. So that's just ridiculous. That shows how important he is for them. And, you know, Dries Mertens and Yannick Carrasco are not De Bruyne or Hazard. So that will be pivotal. I think if they play, I would put them favourites. And if they don't, I would put Italy favourites. It's that simple. And, you know, as Tom said, Chiellini coming back would be big, because in terms, you know, him and Bonucci up against Lukaku, that's mouthwatering stuff.
We're going to get into the detail of all of that in a moment. You know, those defensive battles, the tactical battles, and a little bit of a deeper dive as well on De Bruyne and Hazard. But Gregor, styles do make fights here as well, don't they? Italy playing their traditional 4-3-3 versus the 3-4-2-1 of Belgium. Does that make one of them favourites?
I think Italy looked, I've said this before, I think Italy looked like the most kind of refined. I know Austria was their weakest performance, but they looked the most kind of like a club side. And I was going to say, I think what they do in midfield will be quite interesting, because Barella probably, you know, I thought Barella's been really good, but Locatelli and Pessina, two players who came off the bench and had a big impact against Austria, and Verratti's back fit now as well. So I think the dynamic in midfield will change slightly for Italy. But then, as much as we heap praise on the kind of, I don't want to say geriatric back three, but their elder statesmen of Belgium, it must have taken a lot out of them that game. And, you know, they're facing a very different proposition. There's much more craft and dynamism and kind of overload. So that's Italy's kind of trademark so far. It's been the overloads down the flank, particularly Spinazzola and Insigne down the left. So they have a completely different challenge to a Portugal team or any team that they've played so far. So as I say, I think Belgium need to be at full strength to beat Italy.
Quick focus on Belgium then, Tom. 6 shots to Portugal's 23 in their last 16 match. That defence that Gregor mentioned, Toby Alderweireld, Thomas Vermaelen, Jan Vertonghen, did they answer the doubts that people have had over them in that match, or do they still linger?
No, they did answer. They definitely answered them. I remember that night, and I remember thinking that Vermaelen could probably still be at Arsenal at the moment. The way he played that night,
in Japan, still looked,
still looked as fresh as anything, and probably the freshest out of that back line after the season they've had. And I think it actually benefits them. I mean, Gregor speaks of the geriatric Italian line, the Belgians aren't far off them at all. And I do think that the one thing that worries me about this game is it is the tie of the round. It's kind of got you licking your lips a little bit, but it also makes me worry that it might be the cagiest, the dullest one, certainly for the 90 minutes. I've got the feeling this one could go to extra time. Because of this kind of experience that they've got, there's so much experience, especially in those back lines, and I think that will create a real sort of caginess to the field, to the tie, where neither of them really wants to go for it too much.
I think I'd be amazed if Chiesa doesn't start for Italy as well after his impact, and he was brilliant against Wales too. It's not that Berardi's had a bad tournament by any stretch of the imagination, but. You know, also you look at him down that left-hand side with Vertonghen playing on the left. He's a runner. He's a powerful runner, Chiesa. So that's potentially a danger point for Belgium.
I don't know if this makes any difference whatsoever. I'll be honest, but I was having a look yesterday, and it's quite interesting that Italy, out of all the countries left, 13 of the players that featured in the round of 16 game against Austria play in Italy. They all are based in Italy, whereas Belgium's players that played in their game, they're just totally spread across the continent. I mean, the most is England, and that's four players come from the UK, travelled from the UK. So I don't know if that is benefiting them a little bit, the kind of similar style, all playing in the same league. I totally agree with what Gregor said in that they feel like a club team, whereas sometimes Belgium feel like a group of players who are relying on moments of excellence from individuals like De Bruyne, like Hazard, like Lukaku. And I think that's why my hunch goes slightly towards Italy.
You mentioned Gregor Kevin De Bruyne already, but Eden Hazard looked like he was coming back to his best somewhat in this tournament as well. Certainly didn't look as jaded as we thought he had earlier on in the season in the Champions League in particular. They both looked totally fine as they got on the bus to travel to Munich a little bit earlier on. If De Bruyne is missing, how important is it that Hazard plays as well? Because the both of them, I mean, that shows real difficulty to create.
I mean, God, yeah. I think I said that after. If one's missing, then you've just got to hope and pray that the other's fit in. Yeah, you're right. Hazard was dangerous. And he took some rough treatment as well. And, you know, I think that says a lot about the way he played. So, yeah, he's been one of Belgium's kind of talisman for a long, long period. And absolutely, having one fit is just going to be an enormous boost. Even if one is fit, I think, then that gives Belgium an enormous boost, because without them both, they're going into that game in a completely different mindset. It's not like you have, but that's your match winners, two of your match winners gone, and your service to your other match winner, Lukaku. So it would be enormous just for one of them to be fit.
Lukaku, of course, of Inter Milan, plays in Italy at the moment, has a huge battle incoming. Giorgio Chiellini of Juventus could be returning from injury in this game. Leonardo Bonucci, of course, there as well, his Juventus teammate. You know, Tom, this could end up being literally the key battle in the game.
Yeah, it really could. And I think I've said before that I think even though De Bruyne and Hazard are going to be key individuals, especially their absence in this game, I think if Belgium are to win it, I think Lukaku will be the key. And I think he'll really thrive off the idea of facing Chiellini and Bonucci. He loves being in Italy now, and the year he's had there, the seasons he's had there, have really put him on this kind of high bar, the top bracket of player in Europe. And he knows it himself. And I think he sees this tournament as the kind of stage to prove that to an extent. And I think he's felt throughout his career that he's had to prove himself. The thing is, his strength is a key part of what he can do, but he's also clever. I love to see him move out to the right hand side. You know, when he does that, he moves out to the right hand side and drags the central defenders wide. I think he's very clever in doing that, and his speed, his fitness that he's got, that is going to be a really good battle. The problem is, if Hazard and De Bruyne aren't playing, he doesn't get the same service. That's the issue, isn't it? There's a domino effect. It starts to impact Lukaku's game as well.
Fairest, if you're looking for weaknesses in Italy's team, it was often they've left space in behind. And there's been a couple of times, I seem to remember against Austria, Arnautovic running through, he had a volley that he went over the bar. There's been a couple of times they have been sprung. And also, Spinazzola, as we know, plays so high. If he drifts out to the left, there's a hole there. If it becomes a battle that they kind of, Bonucci and Chiellini relish, a physical battle, then I think they'll kind of stand up to Lukaku. But if you can stretch him in behind, and if De Bruyne and Hazard are missing, still have someone like Tielemans, who time and time again, and for Leicester City, you see him playing beautiful through balls for Jamie Vardy to run onto, or for Harvey Barnes to run onto. They have players. Witzel's although he's a defensive-minded midfielder, he's got the ability to do that as well. So, if Italy continue to play a high line like they have, that's a danger.
And is that really where Austria showed us that you can get at Italy? You'll hear Jose Mourinho say one Italian player is totally irreplaceable. But I wonder where you can get most joy against them, because, of course, Belgium moved, well, they have moved a long time ago, running into this tournament, into that 3-4-3, whether a change of system might help them get, in behind the wingbacks that we know press very, very high. Is there any chance of a change of shape, Tom, or are they too conscious about defensively being solid?
I don't know if it would be wise we saw what changing shape does to teams when France played. The one thing that you've got to, I don't know whether you have to accept it or you have to tackle it, is that you're playing against a team who want to take hold of the game, the tempo, with a midfield of the likes of Verratti and Jorginho, who just knock it around for fun all day. Now, whether Martinez sees that and think we need to win the midfield battle, I'm not sure, or whether he sees it as doing what Austria did, as you said, springing their back line as soon as they come upfield. And like I was saying before about Lukaku, using his pace, his movement, and the wingbacks that they had before with Torgan Hazard to punish them for that, because that is, I can see that working.
I'd be amazed if they change, because the back three need bodies around them. They need to support each other, they need to cover each other, and they need other people to cover them as well. So that's why they're playing this way, really. I don't see two centre-halves who are really going to be, able to be exposed. So I think they're offering each other protection that way, and I'd be amazed if it changes.
You'll hear Jose Mourinho's thoughts on the Italy versus Belgium game very, very shortly. But let's look ahead to the other game on Friday, gentlemen. Spain, who've hit 10 goals in their last two games, plus extra time, I guess. They've got a great chance of reaching the last four, but they have to navigate a tricky tie, taking on the conquerors of France, of course, in the shape of Switzerland. It's an extremely tough one to call, in my opinion. Gregor, you'll need your man Alvaro Morata to deliver, won't you?
My man, eh? I don't know. I think he's everyone's man now, isn't he? I think along with Denmark, there's a potential for this to be the most kind of poignant storyline of the competition. If he scores the goals that win Spain the tournament after the abuse and the start, and he's had an awful time. And it's just such a peculiar player. He's played for Real Madrid, Chelsea, Juventus, Atletico Madrid. I was reading he's won 14 major trophies in club football. He's cost £170 million altogether in transfer fees. He scored 21 goals in 44 games for his country, so almost one every two games. If he scores another one, he'll have scored the most in European championships for his country. And he's... and against that backdrop, the way he's been kind of treated and viewed and perceived has been pretty extraordinary. And so, he's only scored one goal. It'll be a big moment for him, and it could be a big moment for Spain. But if he scores the goals that help Spain win the competition, that'll be a great story.
I'm not sure why, but I would change shape if I were Spain for this game. Although it didn't work out for France against Switzerland, I think the centre-forwards in Mbolo, Seferovic, Gavranovic off the bench, they've looked a real threat. And also I've been totally underwhelmed by the Spanish centre backs. Aymeric Laporte, for one, who just should be better. Eric Garcia, who I don't expect much from anyway. Pau Torres off the bench. I mean, I'm amazed. I'm amazed that Sergio Ramos isn't in this Spain squad, because I think they need him. And they brought in experience from the start of this competition in the shape of Cesar Azpilicueta, who's, I think, helped transform that defence. But I don't think it's still where it needs to be to win this competition. And the wing-backs of Switzerland get really involved in the game as well. So I wonder whether Spain maybe change system, maybe to a 4-2-3-1, play with wide, speedy wingers to try and expose in behind the wing backs. Maybe Ferran Torres, Mikel Oyarzabal. Is that correct?
Sounds good to me.
Yeah, I think it's all right. You know, he scored in the last game, but to just try and exploit the space, because they're two players with speed, might be a better recipe for success. And maybe then Gerard Moreno just leads the line and not Alvaro Morata as a one up front. I don't know. Tom, what do you think?
Greg was squinting at that idea, grimacing at the idea of Morata being left out. I understand it. I think Busquets, unsurprisingly, just has brought so much to that team, like Maguire did coming back for England, like Matthijs de Ligt did coming in for Holland, just brought a total experience and a balance to the Spain team. And he also allowed, the fact him being in there in front of the defence, allowed Pedri to have a little bit more freedom to get into the space in between the midfield and the defence, those pockets we talk about. Just on Morata as well. I mean, I think Gregor's right in that it could be a massive moment for him, and it could be a massive moment for Spain, that goal. And I think you stick with him because of that very reason. It's interesting looking back on his career, because when he came to Chelsea, he'd been at Real Madrid, he'd been at Juventus, and he'd had this career of being a player who was extremely talented and came off the bench and started some games and scored a bag full of goals. But he was never, there was expectation, but not pressure, I don't think. Then he went to Chelsea and he was expected to be the main man there, and it didn't work out. And it's a similar thing that I think is happening now with Spain. He has to be the main man for them up front. He has to score the goals, and it wasn't happening until that goal. And of course it was an important goal, being in extra time. So I think we could see him be a big part of this game. And actually, that battle with Akanji, who I'm a big fan of, I like Akanji in the middle of the Swiss defence, that could be really good. And I don't think, I can see Akanji winning it at the moment, because Morata doesn't like physicality and he goes to the floor far too easily. And Akanji will win that at the moment, in my eyes.
Something I never thought I'd be saying, both surprising and unsurprising, I guess. Unsurprising, Granit Xhaka is the only player at Euro 2020 who is suspended for the quarterfinals. But surprising to say, I think, Gregor, he could be a massive miss for Switzerland in this game.
No matter what was said about, or a lot of people have said about Granit Xhaka over on podcasts and the like, which has often been deserving. He was outstanding against France. So he will be a miss. And I actually remember doing a profile piece about Xhaka just after the notorious, was it against Crystal Palace, when he kind of clapped the fans and whatever. Doing a PF kind of profile piece about him and speaking to some Swiss journalists, and they're just saying how they were so perplexed by the kind of love-hate relationship, or largely hate relationship, between him and Arsenal fans, because he's such a huge player for Switzerland, so consistent, a leader. You know, I think he's not missed a game for years and years. So this is a big blow for them, absolutely. But I agree with Tom. I think they have some solid performers. I really love Akanji as well. And I think although it's not rocket science, they've got Seferovic, who's great in the air, and Spain's weakness is clearly, we could see it against Croatia, is balls into the box. And you know, Garcia particularly, even if Pau Torres comes in, he looks a little bit delicate as well. I know Manchester United have been linked with him just now, but I wouldn't say he's someone who would be relishing the physical battle. So they've got a big target man there, and they've also got Brielle Mbolo, who is quick and strong, powerful. So I think it's stick it in the mixer if you're Switzerland. And as you say, Zubar on the left, you know, wonderful left foot. I think he's got 4 assists so far. So that's a clear tactic for Switzerland.
We shall see exactly how that match pans out. We will be discussing both the games, of course, Italy against Belgium and the Swiss taking on Spain on tomorrow's episode of the Game Podcast. But plenty more still to come, so don't go anywhere. Up next, you're going to hear from Jose Mourinho looking ahead to tomorrow's games before I ask these two gentlemen where the surprise of the quarterfinals will come from.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Now, I'm delighted to say the special one, Jose Mourinho, has joined us on the Game Podcast. The former Real Madrid, Inter Milan, Manchester United and Chelsea boss has been giving us some great insights to players and managers alike. I started our conversation earlier by asking Jose about this high-pressure knockout football we're about to encounter at the competition. What would he do as a coach to prepare his players correctly for the mental point of view?
You know, I think when you arrive in these stages of competitions, club competition, national team competition, in this case, when you reach this, you are ready. If you are not ready, you don't reach these stages. So my feeling is that the preparation work is basically done, and now it's just to let the birds fly. You know, they are ready. Let the birds fly. Of course, touch strategically, prepare the team with the last bits of game plan, a little bit of strategy. But now they are full of confidence. They see the light in the end of the tunnel. They know that in 1 week or 10 days, they can be kings of Europe. Let the birds fly because they are ready.
There are some big sides, though, that have already gone in the last 16. Some big surprises in there, of course. France, the Netherlands, but your Portugal are gone. Germany too. Croatia as well. What do you think the biggest factor was in those sides being eliminated?
I would say that the only surprise was France. Because Germany lost against England and Portugal lost against Belgium, and England could lose against Germany and Belgium could lose against Portugal. So when you face the big teams with similar power of yours, you know, football is an open match and you can lose. You know, Portugal lost against a good team. Deserve more, fought until the last second. Germany played at Wembley against England, fought until minute 85, could score the 1-1 and go to extra time. It's not a drama to lose against England at Wembley. France, yes. For me, France, I think they have to blame themselves. They play against Switzerland, a good team with a good coach, with good players, but there is a clear difference of power. And they did everything wrong. A part of their reaction in the beginning of the second half, everything went wrong. The way they prepare and start the match was wrong. Then the way they turn the game from 0-1 to 3-1 showed the potential they have. But then after the third goal, again, everything went wrong. The way they celebrate the third goal was wrong. The way they relax after that was wrong. The feeling of the job is done was wrong. Then the changes that the coach made were wrong. And in the end, they have to blame themselves. But Holland to lose is normal. Holland was poor in the qualification. Was poor. They were winning the group matches, but not against the best teams. So I would never rate Holland to go further than this. So for me, the negative surprise and the result surprise was France.
This weekend, two teams, I think one of them will reach the final. Italy taking on Belgium. Maybe no Eden Hazard, maybe no Kevin De Bruyne for Belgium. They did travel for the game today. Do you think if they're missing, that would affect the result itself?
You know, it's difficult not to say that the team without De Bruyne and Hazard is the same. It's difficult to say because they are two of the most talented players that we have in football world. But I saw something from Belgium that I didn't see before against Portugal, which was defend with nine players in a low block. And they did it for 45 minutes against Portugal. And if they can do that with the goalkeeper they have, with the experience they have behind, and with the counter-attack power they have on Lukaku, I think they can beat anyone. So Italy is a beautiful team. They are playing really, really well, and not just playing really well. They are playing some very, very nice football. But Belgium is, I wouldn't say 51% to Italy. I would say 50-50 because Belgium is a powerful team, and they showed me against Portugal that can also be pragmatic and is very, very important in these competitions to be like that.
If you're Italy, you have so many strong midfielders. You've got Giorgio Chiellini. You've got Bonucci at the back as well. Do you think they'll be able to stop Romelu Lukaku, who's playing fantastically well in this tournament?
You know, Lukaku played in Italy. They know him well. Bonucci, Chiellini, they know everything about football. Once I told that they should be teachers of young central defenders because Bonucci, Chiellini, they are very good players with a lot of experience. And if Lukaku is stronger than them, is faster than them, they have incredible football brain and will be a very, very important fight. In midfield is a question mark because they started Jorginho, Barella, Locatelli, and all of them playing beautifully. But then Verratti comes, and Verratti is Verratti. And now Mancini has to think and has to decide. Verratti plays, Verratti doesn't play. If he plays, who is not playing? It's complicated, but is one of the problems that we coaches, we like to have. What we don't like is when you don't have options.
What would you do?
I don't know, but the one, Jorginho is untouchable. Jorginho has to play because he positionally is so intelligent. He gives so much stability to the team. He's very clever. He is a specialist in stopping counterattacks by occupying the spaces, by making some important tactical falls. Locatelli is probably the one with more goal, is the one that coming from midfield, he has more chances to arrive in the box and score goals. So it would have to be between Barella and Verratti. And this is like, I don't want to make publicity, but this should be like, do you want a Ferrari or do you want a Lamborghini? Okay, I want an Aston Martin.
I think you can get one as well, Jose. Just quickly on the other two games, Switzerland versus Spain. This for me maybe is about identity. Spain, although they've scored a lot of goals in the last two games, not quite knowing what they are as a side, and Switzerland are very, very settled in their jobs. How do you think this game will go?
It's a good question. I think Switzerland misses their teacher. I think they have two teachers, one on the touchline, Petkovic, and one on the pitch, Xhaka. And because of yellow cards, they are going to have two teachers on the touchline, but no teacher on the pitch. And teams, they need sometimes this extension of the coach on the pitch. So I think they are going to miss him. But in any case, it will be a very tactical, pragmatic team. Spain, I think they know what they are. Maybe for us, on the perspective of the football fan or analyst, maybe we have some doubts, but I don't think they have. I think Luis Enrique knows what he wants. You can see by the profile of player that he selected, clearly he knows what he wants. They are a team that is difficult to predict the ended product. You know the way they play, you know what they want to do, but you don't know how it is going to end. Sometimes they struggle to score one single goal. Sometimes they struggle to score a goal. But then they score 5-5, and a few months ago against Germany, they score 7. But the reality is that they are a team of ball possession. They are a team with a defensive line up. They are a team that wants to press immediately after they lose the ball. They are a team that doesn't defend well when the block is low. So I think they know exactly what they are. But then in some matches, the matches, they go in a direction where they cannot break defenders. They cannot break defensive blocks. They couldn't break the Polish block. They couldn't break the Swedish block. But then in other matches, the matches they open, and then with fast people like they have so many of them, they destroy and they score 4 or 5 goals. So I would imagine against Switzerland, difficult to score, but if they score, maybe the game goes in a different direction. So in Spanish team matches, I always put a question mark in front. I don't know.
Our thanks to Jose Mourinho. And remember, if you subscribe to The Times and The Sunday Times right now, you can read Jose's fantastic columns throughout the competition, giving us some great insight to players and teams alike. Just go online, search thetimes.co.uk/the game. But before we go, Gregor Robertson and Tom Roddy, I do still want to discuss one more thing with you. I mentioned it at the start of the show, of course. The surprise of the round might come from, now there might not be a shock, of course, but if there's to be a shock, who's the team you're looking most closely at? Tom Roddy, I'll start with you.
I'd love to stick with Switzerland, and I think I am going to.
Is that a shock?
Yeah, I think it should be, if out of the few. I mean, what's the other shock? The other shock is probably Ukraine beating England. I don't see any huge shocks other than that. I mean, this is the first time, let's remember, this is the first time Switzerland have ever got this far in a European Championships. Spain have won it. They're the only country to ever win it back to back. So in theory, Switzerland should go into this game very much as underdogs. But I think confidence-wise, coming off the back of beating France, they'll be on an absolute high and use it in this game. It's just Xhaka's losses, Xhaka's absence will be a huge loss. But I think you get it into Seferovic and he'll bully that Spain defence.
Yeah, I think that might happen as well. I'll be looking out for that Spanish defence to see what kind of afternoon they have. Big work on the way. Who knows? It might be a back three, as I've advocated. Gregor, where do you see the surprise coming?
I can see the Czech Republic giving Denmark a tough game, but I'm going to have to, if I was to choose one, it would be Switzerland. Spain scored one goal in the first two games, and I just kept banging on about how they don't have a cutting edge, and then they scored 10 goals in two games. So either that made me look really stupid, or I'm going to double down and say, I'm still, Slovakia were woeful, and the Croatia game was a mad seesawing game. I don't think they're going to score 5 goals again. I think they will need to score at least a couple, because I think they're shaky at the back. Whether they're going to do that again or not, whether Morata will step up, whether Torres and so we'll have as good, you know, as influential a game. That will be important. I think they're going to have to score a couple to get past Switzerland, because I think Switzerland will score. So Switzerland.
I don't know, you know, there's a feeling, you know, the Czech Republic, as stale, as stagnant as they might be, you know, the Danes, you know, might be overconfident going into this one. I imagine there's going to be so much feeling and sentiment about, you know, it might be destiny, let's call it that. I'm sure they're saying that back home, whatever the Danish word is for that. And maybe the feeling that they're going to cruise to the semi-final at least, you know, and possibly a chance of beating England. Maybe they're looking too far ahead, you know. But by the way, you know, me and Gareth Southgate.
Well, yeah, they're talking about ringing the changes. You know, they're going to rest players. Oh, come on. Let's not get complacent.
Southgate won't do that. But all I'm saying is, you know, going to Rome, away from Wembley for the first time, Ukraine with absolutely nothing to lose. Listen, one word, Iceland. You know, anything can happen to England at a major tournament. We've been knocked out in the group stage before. We haven't qualified in the past. We had the Wally with the Brolly. You know, this country is still capable of breaking all of our hearts. So football for me isn't quite coming home yet. It bought a ticket, but maybe it's slightly delayed.
I can't say anything. I said my bit about it last time. So I agree, though. I agree.
That attack of Yarmolenko and Yaremchuk, they're pretty good. They're pretty impressive. I mean, that would be quite a battle for Maguire. Will need to be back in form again that he was the other night.
That's another game that's, you know, highly dependent on who's fit. I think if, you know, Ukraine were battered and bruised after that game, and you know Yarmolenko was one of them, so he is huge for them. Some of his touches, some of his craft and wizardry with his left foot, you know, that could be huge for Ukraine. But I still think England, complacent or not, will go through.
A huge weekend for us to look forward to. Friday and Saturday, of course. We'll be back tomorrow with more from Jose Mourinho, his views on Harry Kane and what system Gareth Southgate should start against the Ukraine. But if you're enjoying the podcast, make sure you leave us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcast from. And of course, make sure you're subscribed to The Times and The Sunday Times. Loads of great journalism on the way ahead of the games this weekend. Just go online, search thetimes.co.uk/thegame to begin your free trial. And remember, of course, you can sign up for less than £1 a day right now. But Tom Roddy, Gregor Robertson, thank you for being with me. And thank you to all of you for listening. We'll be back soon on The Game.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.